Thank you. Good to have you join in our service here this morning. We're going to continue our Bible study here because it's interesting to know what is going to happen in the future. Now, I'd like for you, if you'll notice here, and up on the diagram that we have here, if I get my little thing out here. Now, if I can hold this on here, where's it at? Here we go. See a little red thing up there? Okay. Of course, we have the church age. We're in that now. Next comes the rapture. Next comes the tribulation period. And what we're going to see is, even now, at the end of the church age, looking for the rapture, we're seeing like Amana did a job. He wants to get rid of Israel. It will never happen. He signed his death warrant. We keep going over this. Hitler, I should say, killed the 6 million Jews. He did that with the help of Martin Luther. This is something that's always covered up. Luther wrote prolifically to hate the Jews, burn down their synagogues, confiscate their material. All of these Lutherans that you see in this whole area around here have no idea about Martin Luther because their preachers are not going to tell them. But the writings are there. All they have to do is look it up. But their brain wars, middle verse of the Bible, better put your trust in the Lord than his confidence with men. They hate you if you talk against Luther. He is their God. But Hitler took Luther's writings and took that and showed it to the people. Therefore, in fact, there were some very nice German people. There were Christians. There were some. But Hitler knew he could not convince the German people that they had trash in there like the Jews. And we need to have this ethnic cleansing and get these out of here. Those Jews had businesses and so forth like that, but he hated them, even though he was a part Jew himself, about a third, and so forth. So he took Luther's writings, and they thought, and he knew if a preacher would say that they're trash, burn their synagogues down, confiscate their material, they would believe a preacher, not just a leader of the country. So Luther had a majority, I should say not a majority, but at least half a part of 6 million Jews that were sent to the gas chambers, including little babies and men and women and so forth like that. And this is what the people in these areas that are saturated with Lutheranism have absolutely no idea, and their preachers are nothing but liars and will not tell them the truth so they can keep their job, have their retirement, have their home and a place to live, and have a very lucrative salary over this man who was a lost man. Luther was never a saved man. Says in there, and we're not just preaching on Luther, but people need to hear this because you don't hear this in this area around here. Nobody speaks out about it or anything. Preachers don't want to do it because it may offend you. He came unto his own. Jesus Christ came unto his own, the Jewish nation. He would have set the kingdom up then. But God knew by his foreknowledge, that they would not accept him. He scattered them. He said, all right, even though on the day of Pentecost, 3,000 Jews, that wasn't anything compared to hundreds and thousands of Jews that came from all over the country to worship on the day at the Feast of Pentecost. Only 3,000 trusted Christ as their Savior. They rejected the Lord Jesus Christ. He said, all right, I sent you the Messiah. Your prophecies in the Old Testament told you all about it and so forth. The time that he would come, right on time, and you reject him because of your phony priest that have made the synagogues a den of thieves that Christ run out 3 times when he was on this earth. He went in and said, you made the house of God a den of thieves, and he run them out. He did 3 different times, 3 separate times. God said, all right. You worshiped your idols and your phony priests and your lying prophets and so forth. I'm going to scatter you throughout the world where you could have had the kingdom. And he did that. In 70 AD, the Roman general by the name of Titus came in, and after a lengthy time of besiege, where there were over, probably according to Josephus, a great Jewish, historian, and said there were probably 1 million Jews that were killed. During that besiege there, they were scattered to the 4 corners of the earth, just as God said. They remained that way from 70 AD until May the 14th, 1948. Literally, if you go back a little to 1917, when you had World War I and the Balfour Declaration back there. Lord Balfour, when we find out that Britain and Germany were fighting, it looked like Britain was going to be captured by Germany. But then Shem Weizmann, who was a Jewish man, invented TNT, and at that time it was the most powerful, I should say, explosive that there was. He gave that, and through that Lord Balfour said, if we win the war because of that, in recognition of you, Mr. Weizmann, for doing that, and they did, then we will give the land to the Jewish people. They did that, but they didn't fulfill the declaration that they pretended. They were going to give all that land to Israel as God had given in the Bible. But they divided it right down the middle, so they thought they would compromise. The Arabs would be happy, that's Ishmael, from the progenitor of the Arab race. And we find out that Isaac, we find out, was the progenitor of the, through Abraham, and Sarah was the progenitor there, Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, of the Jewish race. They have been at odds ever since. Be against your own brothers and everything else, you will live a wild life and so forth. They have been ever since. But to make a long story short in getting back, May the 14th, they begin to trickle back a little bit. But on, and as it began to grow and grow and more got back into Jerusalem and the area of Palestine there, May the 14th, 1948, the United Nations recognized Israel as a sovereign nation. The United States of America has backed there up until what it looks like now with Obama, that is going to, if he can do this and not lose the election, he is not for Israel at all. In fact, I've never heard so many people say he's anti-Constitution, he's anti-American, and not for America at all. And there, with the things that he's done, if he'd have done this back in the 50s, he would have been impeached. But he's gotten away with it because America has truthfully fell into a slumber sleep about taking a stand against anything. In fact, you're almost a weirdo if you stand up for what's right. You stand up against homosexuals, you're a hate crime victim there. The next thing they'll be telling us, you can't say anything against homosexuals because you hate them. No, we witness to homosexuals. We don't hate them. I hate their lifestyle. I don't want them coming into my house and drinking coffee because I don't want anybody thinking that I tolerate that I'm part of that I agree with that. So that's where I stand. Can they come to church? Come to church if you want. You're going to hear how to go to heaven, and you're also going to hear what God thinks about homosexuals, because I'm going to tell you. So it might be your first and last time here, but you'll know how to be saved. You have a choice to trust Jesus Christ and see what the Lord wants you to do with your lifestyle. Absolutely. So, to hate them, no. They're a human being like anybody else. You just follow the wrong crowd with your perversion and so forth. God never created Adam and Harry. He created Adam and Eve, I believe, didn't he? Something like that? I think so. So much for that, or we're not going to get through this. But anyway, you're not going to annihilate Israel. This is used even by friends of Israel. You know, support Israel, support Israel, support Israel, because you go back to Genesis chapter 12, where God said to Abraham, I'll bless them that bless thee, I'll curse them that curse thee. Other words, send your money to Israel. Well, I want to tell you a truth. Whether you send any money or whether you don't is your prerogative, but it doesn't make any difference as whether you're going to keep Israel from being annihilated. God said she will be alive up until the rapture and on the other side of the rapture, because in Daniel chapter 9 and verse 27, the Antichrist makes a covenant with the nation of Israel. So I'm not sending, this is just me, I'm not sending my money to Israel now, because 90% of them are either looking for the Messiah, they have not trusted the Messiah, and a lot of them are atheists. So, after the rapture, all the Christians are gone. And I don't know why this isn't taught. I mean, all the Jewish, and there are a lot of Jewish people who are saved, but at the rapture, they're going just like the Gentiles. Am I not right? So the only people left are the lost people. So I'm not sending my money and wasting it. And when it says, I'll bless them, but bless thee, and curse them, and curse thee, is, let's try to win them to the Lord. I've witnessed to many, many Jews, and so forth. And Jehovah's Witnesses or anybody. It doesn't make any difference. In fact, we had Margie put on there something about, she's on Facebook, she puts on things, I don't know what she puts on, But she read me one thing she put on about something, witnessing or that. Well, here comes a Jehovah's Witness, brother, that we've known for years that we led to the Lord down in Ohio, and got on there and said, oh, thank you, Pastor Laos. We wouldn't be saved if we hadn't turned on the radio down in Painesville, Ohio, and we trusted Jesus Christ as our Savior. Well, she did over the radio, but her husband was a staunch Jehovah's Witness. And anyway, to make the long story short and fill in the cracks of the pieces there, we went out, I think it was four or five straight nights for 2 hours a night and recorded, because he said, you know, I'm not going to trust Christ. I want some answers to this, and I'm going to take it to the Jehovah's Witnesses and see if they can refute what you're telling me. So we went four or five nights, I forget which, and answered everything that they put out in Jehovah's Witnesses and so forth like that. The New World Translation and so forth, in the beginning was the Word was with God, and Word was a God. They say it is a God, not just God. And therefore, I said, well, you can't do that from the original text that was written, because there is no Greek for the word a. So they had to add that. And if you go to Proverbs chapter 30, verse 6, it says, add thou not unto his words, lest he reprove you, and thou be found a liar. So they put a in there to show that it's not the God, but it's a God of some kind. So we went through all of that and gave that to him. He trusted Christ. They've been our friends for how many years now? Well, we've been up here 21, so it had to be 26. Something like that. So much for that, but we're not getting into the Bible study now, so we got to keep going here, okay? But that fills in the cracks anyway, and it's all Margie's fault, because she put it on Facebook so everybody would know it, see? Okay, great. Well, let me go on here if I can. The next thing that's going to happen after the rapture is the Antichrist. Now, he's going to make a covenant with Israel. Israel will have the right to worship. When he makes that covenant, it's the Old Testament covenant. They're ordaining Kohens down there, and have for the past 10 or 12 years or 15 years. They that offer the sacrifices just like they did under the first covenant there, the old covenant under the law. These are not saved. You have two witnesses that go in, they're saved. You have 144,000 that are saved right after the rapture. They're all Jews. 12,000 from each tribe. They're all Jews. So they're going to be witnesses. They're going to win a lot of Jews during the tribulation period. But after 3.5 years, the Antichrist breaks his covenant with the nation of Israel. Where's my thing? Here it is. My red light. See my red light there? Okay, let's go right down here to the middle of the tribulation period here. Okay. The next time I use my black rod, I change from each Sunday. Okay, here he breaks the covenant. Then he declares himself to be God. He goes into the Jewish temple and so forth, declares himself to be God. And he's going to kill every Jew and get his hands on. We're going to see that's what we're going to study this morning. God's pre-written the history of the Jewish nation. Now, first of all, let's go over here to the book of Isaiah. So let me get this shit off. I got so many switches on this. Okay. With that confidence, I knew how to use it. Oh, boy. Okay, let's go to the book of Isaiah, chapter 19, all right? Here we go, because we're still on studying that, where it talks about three nations that are going to be saved right before the millennium there. And they will go into the millennium, all right? So we go to Isaiah, and then we're going to center in on, we've already had the two, which is Assyria and Egypt. If you're wondering about Egypt and all the corruption and everything, they're going to be living in as a nation during the millennium, and they're going to worship God after God chastens them. And he does. We study that. Assyria, a ruthless country, came in 721 B.C. and took Israel captive. He took the finest, took them over to there, treated them kinder than you would ever be treated when you were in captivity. They had businesses over there, and probably thinking, you know, we're having troubles with Babylon and so forth like that. Maybe we treat them nice and bring them into our country. He brought the best from Israel over to Assyria. They had businesses, they had homes and everything else, that if we get attacked, they will help us defend ourselves against the enemy. That's my theory. So that's preacherology there, you know, so you can take it or leave it. But I think it sounds pretty good myself, if you want. If you've got more on your side, the better you are, you know, there. So anyway, God said, for you keeping them for almost 100 years, 85, 90 years, you kept them alive, you treated them with kindness, I will bless them and bless thee, and I'll curse them and curse thee. And for that, God will protect Assyria. They go into the millennium and will reign with Jesus Christ along with Egypt. Egypt was very kind, even though they give them and made them as taskmasters. They made them work and so forth for 400 years. They were in bondage for 430 years. The first 30 years, they were not put under that strait or anything else. They were treated very nice or so forth. But 400 years, then they came out with a great substance. They came out with gold, they came out with silver, they came out with goods and everything else, and a pair of shoes that lasted 40 years. I wish I could buy a pair like that. I got a pair I like to wear, which I have on today, and it's made out of man-made material. And the reason for that is, I have another pair just like this that I bought at half price, which I have, the only reason I bought it, I'm going to pay their ridiculous price for a pair of leather shoes, because you get them wet and you get all kind of problems. And I've been advised some nice people to go out, Pastor, why don't you spray them with protective covering? I thought that was good advice. But I still wear my old ones when it rains, because it just sheds rain like that, and they're still as pretty as they were when it did it. So, okay, so much for that. Back to the shoes for 40 years, never wore out. I've never seen a pair like that in my life. God bless that. And when Herod tried to kill all of the children, Joseph and Mary took Christ down to Egypt, where Egypt protected the Savior as a child down there. God honored that. Egypt will reign with Christ in the millennium. I'll bless them and bless thee. I'll curse them and curse thee. That didn't have anything to do with money, as we're getting fed to us today. That God will bless you if you give. Maybe he will. But he's not going to curse you if you don't. Because God said, you'll be alive at the rapture. These things are taught in the Bible, so you're not deceived. You want to give to Israel? Go ahead. I think God would bless you. He's not going to curse you if you don't. It's entirely up to you. But it's not going to make any difference of whether you keep Israel as a nation, because God said the Antichrist is going to make a covenant with that nation after the rapture. So they have to be there. They've been a nation ever since May the 14th, 1948. I've been attacked by the Muslims and the Arabs and so forth that want them out of there. They signed their death warrant because they're going to be there. That's what I want to talk to you about this morning here. If you want to know what's going to happen to the future, and it all comes down to this. Well, you say it's not very exciting on a Sunday morning. We're talking about Israel or what the future is going to be. The underlying principle is this. When God said to Israel, you are my nation, you will never be destroyed. In the end, I will keep my promise to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob of all of this land, 255,000 square miles of real estate over in Palestine. Even gives the territorial boundary lines of it and so forth. You're going to get it. But if you worship idols and you follow these heathen, the Amorites, the Jebusites, and so forth like that, all of these seven heathen nations in Palestine, I'm going to send you into, I'll defeat them all for you. The land is yours. And so forth. But they intermarried and so forth, and everything went to H-E-L-L, if you want to say that. God judged them. He took them into captivity. 721, the Assyrians took them. 606 B.C., the Babylonians came in and took them. Captivity. Then they returned. Here's the point I'm trying to make. When God said to Abraham, I'm going to give all this land to Abraham, Isaac, and Jacob, and the Jewish nation, is the same promise as you're seeing time marched on for 2,000, 3,000 years and so forth. And God said, I'll have them, and when the millennium reigns, and we read from Ezekiel chapter 40 to 48, all talks about the 1,000-year millennial reign, they're all there. What does it show us? What is the principle? Did God promise you eternal life when you trusted Jesus Christ? I think he did, didn't he? He promised it to me. He said in Ephesians 2:8, 9, for by grace are you saved through faith, that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, lest any man should boast. So there's nothing that you can do yourself to merit eternal life. There's absolutely nothing. You can be the best mother, the best father, and be the best person you ever seen in society. They would envy you for the way you have. But you're not perfect. Because Romans 3:23 says, we've all sinned, come short of the glory of God. We've all sinned. You know, I don't mind saying I'm a sinner because you are too, so I'm not alone. You know, that sort of eases the pain a little bit, you know. We're all sinners. But I thank God all can be saved. God said, I'm not willing any should perish. Max House, don't pay for your sin. Don't go to hell and pay for it. Why would you do that when the home's bought and paid for it already there? In my Father's house are many mansions. You hear these sermons so many times. Oh, Christ went to heaven. It's been 2,000 years building all these mansions. No, in my Father's house are many mansions. When Christ gave that in Matthew chapter 24, they were already there. They're already built. So I don't think it took him 2,000 years to do it to you. They're built, but it's paid for. And it's offered as a free gift. You don't have to come down an aisle. You don't have to do this. You don't have to do that. You don't have to make him Lord of your life. And even if, and I'm going to give the worst scenario, all right? Or one of the worst ones, okay. Because what this shows of Israel is exactly, you cannot make God a liar when it comes to the Bible. When he promised you that you would never perish, I would never perish, but have everlasting life, these things have I written to you to believe on the name of the Son of God, you may know that you have eternal life. Then, what if I go out and sin? Well, let me ask you a question. I'm going to raise my hand first. Is there anybody here, being a Christian, that has never sinned since you've been a Christian? I'm going to raise mine. I'll never tell you that. And neither would you. God knows that. And he says, if we confess that, he's faithful and just to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. And then if we walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship, not sonship. You don't lose your salvation. I don't care what you do. Well, what if you commit murder? Then truthfully, if you want the truth, whoever sheds man's blood, by his blood should man be killed. If he should be. So we don't have capital punishment, so we see everybody can get out here and shoot people and everything else, won't take away guns from everybody. And Newt Gingrich here a couple of nights ago debating Jesse Jackson said, Jesse Jackson wants to take all your guns away. Newt Gingrich said, why don't we take away the guys that use them? There ain't a gun in the world that's going to kill you laying on the shelf, laying in the house. These are the idiots that are out here, and they're already with this guy that goes there and kills 12 out here that he did. They're already saying, oh, he's probably a little mentally off. Really? I think you're just a plain nut that is filled full of hatred, demon-possessed, and planned this thing for a long time. How do you correct this? Put that dude in the electric chair and throw the switch and burn the pants right off of him and kill him. You say, oh my, you don't love society. No, I don't love that guy at all. I wish we could resurrect the 12 people that are dead and get a testimony from them, don't you? If somebody shoots me and kills me just because he hates me, I wish they'd resurrect me. I'd say, put that dude in the electric chair, throw the switch, and cut all this bull crap that you guys do with your court system and your psychiatrist that need a psychiatrist. Like two psychiatrists walking down the street, and I'd say, good morning, sir. I said, I wonder what he meant by that. That's just about how some of them do, you know. But... we don't have that. In fact, I'll throw this out to you real fast. If you go to Ecclesiastes chapter 8, verse 11, it says, because sentence against an evil work is not executed speedily, therefore is set in the hearts of the sons of men to do evil continually. In Habakkuk 1:4, because sentence and right judgment is not set forth, therefore we have wrong judgment that proceedeth. And we got this guy down as a Muslim down there. Was it Fort Hood? Went in there and killed all of them and so forth there. There's nothing happening. There's nothing happening. That dude should have been within a month executed and gotten out of here. Then he would have sent a message, wouldn't we? We would have sent a message that you're not supposed to do that. But the laws are so much of that. All right, we're over in Isaiah here, chapter 19. I like where you notice this just real fast again. It says here, this is in the millennium in verse 23. On that day there shall be a highway out of Egypt to Assyria, and Assyrian shall come into Egypt, and the Egyptian into Assyria, and the Egyptian shall serve with the Assyrians. That's during the millennium when Christ comes back, sets the kingdom up here for 1,000 years. On down in verse 24. And in that day shall Israel be the third with Egypt and with Assyria, even a blessing in the midst of the land, whom the Lord of hosts shall bless, saying, blessed be Egypt my people, Assyria the work of my hands, and Israel mine inheritance. At the end of the tribulation, when Christ comes back, there'll be three nations resurrected in a day. These three are it that the prophet Isaiah wrote about. Now, let's continue on and get some verses here concerning Israel, all right? Because how God protected Israel, he didn't cast them off because they worshiped idols. He made a promise. He will keep his promise. And there isn't anything you can do as a Christian that will make God a liar and not give you the eternal life that he promised you. Didn't he promise? I love the world, gave my only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him. I believe he died on that cross. I believe he was resurrected. I believe he paid for my sins. The last words in John 19:30 says, it is finished. There's nothing else to be done. I paid for your sins. I went back to heaven. And I promise you, if you'll believe that, I love the world, gave my only begotten Son, whosoever believeth in him, Christ, that he paid for my sin. I'll make two promises. You will never perish but have eternal life. No gimmicks, no shortcuts, no taking back on the promises, and even if you believe not, he cannot deny himself, Timothy says. You can't make God out a liar for anything, but what he can do is, he can chasten us just like he chastened Israel. He can take our life prematurely if we don't do it ourselves. Now, that's not your decision to make, whether it's a judgment of God or whether it isn't. Because we don't really know. We have absolutely no idea. We can think one thing or another. But what I'm saying is, even when God chastens, in Hebrews, he says, whom the Lord loveth, he correcteth every son whom he receiveth, a son. You only become a son of God instead of a creation of God when you trust Christ. Because John 1:12 says, as many as received him, to them gave he the power to become the sons of God. It should be literally children of God. Your sonship is when you get to heaven. But children of God, even to them that believe on his name. So if God's going to chasten me because I quit going to church, or I do something real, real bad, or I lie about somebody, or I do this or that, or I get in an argument in a fight and I kill somebody, you cannot do anything on this earth to make God out a liar and take back his promise that he gave you. Now, you can lie about him. You can do anything you want to do. But you got to pay a price for it. If you don't go to church and you're married, you should. Because it will help your marriage if you're in a good Bible teaching church. You need the fellowship of other Christians. You need a Bible teaching church so you learn something. And you don't sit there like a dunce. But you're going to bring these things on yourself. You kill somebody, you had no right to do it, it was premeditated murder, or whatever, then you should die. Whosoever sheddeth man's blood, by a man shall his blood be shed, in Genesis chapter 9, verse 6. So, that's a principle that should be executed. We've done away with that now. So, anyway, this nation of Israel is going to be alive and well up until the rapture and on in. So the Antichrist is going to try to take care of Israel, but let's see what God says about that. Now we're going to learn some scriptures here, and we're going through it, okay? See how we're going here. Let's scoot along here a little bit. Okay, let's go in our Bibles now to the book of Jeremiah. Just turn right in your Bible, and you'll come to Jeremiah from Isaiah, okay? Jeremiah chapter 30. Let's go here, and we'll use some of these here. Chapter 30. Now let's look in verses 1 to 3, okay? Jeremiah chapter 30, in verses 1 to 3, here we go. The word that came to Jeremiah from the Lord, saying, thus speaketh the Lord God of Israel, saying, write thee all the words that I have spoken unto thee in a book. For lo, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will bring again the captivity of my people Israel and Judah, saith the Lord, and I will cause them to return into the land that I gave to their fathers, and they shall possess it. This is during the tribulation, after the tribulation, because we're going to find out as we go on down that in the Bible, we find out in Isaiah, we'll go there as we work on down here, that 9/10 of the Jews outside of Palestine during the tribulation will be slaughtered. They will be killed. Within Palestine, we find out that only one out of three Jews will survive to go on into the millennium. So the Antichrist is going to try to exterminate them, but you want to remember this. If Satan ever comes to you with a bunch of false teaching and, oh, nothing can work out, God doesn't really love you, and you know why this wouldn't happen if God really loved, he wouldn't allow this to happen to you, and so forth. Just remind him, sir, that hell was created for the devil and his angels, and you're going to be the recipient of, depart from me, you're cursed into the everlasting fire prepared for the devil and his angels, and he doesn't like for you to give his ending. He doesn't like for you to know that. He just wants you to believe him that no good God would ever allow anything to happen to his wonderful people. And that's a lie out of hell. He knows a lot of things you don't know. You say, how would God cause a baby to be born this way? Well, maybe if you hadn't been half drunk half of your life and taking drugs and antidepressants and all this kind of stuff and feeding your children Ritalin, you wouldn't have half of the trouble that you got today. The only thing you've done is make the drug companies billionaires off of this, and I'm going to recommend one, maybe a little on, a couple of books to read about this Ritalin and stuff like that. You want to ruin your child, you know, that crap, you know, there. Maybe if you give him a spanking once in a while when he deserves it, it may do the same thing, you know. Instead of feeling it on the inside and corrupting his mind, it might burn his rear end a little bit, what it needs to do, and maybe it'll change his mind. Now, I know that is horrible talk for a preacher. Oh, horrible. He doesn't love children. Let the psychiatrist take over. They know. Yeah, Dr. Benjamin Spock said you never spank your child. Well, you see a lot of Spock babies around today, don't you? I mean, they're all over the place. Rebellion, don't know how to, whatever. Okay, let's go on, look at some more here, because I got to get through this and quit talking, okay? Notice in verse 7 what he says, same chapter. Alas, for that day is great, so that none is like it. This is the seven-year tribulation period. It is even the time of Jacob's trouble. Jacob's name was changed to Israel, but he shall be saved out of it. God's going to bring the Jews through it to be a nation in the millennium. All right, let's go on here. Notice in verses 11 to 14, same chapter. For I am with thee, saith the Lord, to save thee, though I make a full end of all nations, whether I have scattered thee, yet will I not make a full end of thee. But I will correct thee in measure, and I will not leave thee altogether unpunished. Well, he would not be a righteous God if he didn't correct us when we turned away from him and so forth. I'll tell you what, I quit church one time, took my wife out of church for a year, and almost ended up in a divorce and everything. That was the worst year of my life I ever did. Because I thought she was getting too involved. Yeah. Well, I thought, you know, I do good, I'm saved. I go to church on Sunday morning. Sunday night, I wasn't too happy about ruining my whole day. You know, I was Sunday night. But here she goes, and she's singing in the choir. Well, to sing in the choir, you got to have choir practice. So that meant she had to go an hour early. And then they wanted her to teach Sunday school class, so she had to go to Sunday school class to get taught. So we're going quite a few times. I said, this is totally ridiculous. I'm not at that point yet. Next thing, you'll want me to park a tent outside the church in order to do it. This is it. I don't have time to do anything. Nothing. So I quit. Oh, boy, did I quit. That was the worst life year of my life I have ever spent. And it wasn't all her fault. In fact, it wasn't really any of her fault. It was my fault. But I hate to leave her out of the discussion. You know? I just love her much. I always would want to include her, you know. But anyway, let's go on down, if you will, okay? Notice here in verse 14, all thy lovers have forgotten thee. That's the countries you turn to protect you from your enemies instead of the Lord. So all your lovers have forgotten thee, and they seek thee not, for I have wounded thee with the wound of an enemy and with the chastisement of a cruel one for the multitude of thy iniquities, because thy sins were increased. You didn't stop, you just kept on. If you're on Satan's side and you worship him and you're hearing voices from him and all this kind of stuff there, I'll tell you what, you're just a walking dead person. and hell's your eternity. You hate to see it, but that's their choice. I didn't send them there, you know. Now, let's go on down, verse 17 and 18, okay? For I will restore health unto thee, and I will heal thee of thy wounds, saith the Lord, because they that called thee an outcast, saying, this is Zion, whom no man seeketh after the other nations, hated the Jews. Thus saith the Lord, behold, I will bring again the captivity of Jacob's tents, and have mercy on his dwellings and places, and the city shall be builded upon her own heap, and the palace shall remain after the manner thereof. The temple and the homeland will be built with houses of the Jewish people during the millennium. Very, very simple. In verse 22, then you shall be my people, and I will be your God. You will worship with me for 1,000 years and on into the new heavens and the new earth. Now, let's go to Jeremiah chapter 31. We're right here. Notice in verses 31 to 34. All right? Here we go. In verses 31 to 34, speaking of Israel now, because we want to show you that a Manadidajad is not going to destroy Israel. In verse 31, behold, the days come, saith the Lord, that I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah. Not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers, that was the old covenant, in the day that I took them out of the by the hand to bring them out of the land of Egypt, which my covenant they break, although I was a husband unto them, saith the Lord. But this shall be the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, saith the Lord. I will put my laws in their inward parts, write them in their hearts, and will be their God, and they shall be my people. That's during the millennium there. Notice here in verse 34, and they shall teach no more every man his neighbor, every man his brother, saying, do you know the Lord? For they shall all know me, from the least of them unto the greatest of them, saith the Lord, for I will forgive their iniquity, and I will remember their sin no more. Why would he remember it no more? Because he already punished them for it by taking them into captivity and so forth. Once you're chastened of the Lord, the sin's taken as far as he's not going to do it a second time for the same sin, you know, unless you commit the same sin again and so forth like that. Now, let's go here to verse 35, right on down to 37. Thus saith the Lord, which giveth the sun for a light by day, and the ordinance of the moon of the and a moon and of the stars for a light by night, which divideth the sea when the waves therefore roar, the Lord of hosts is his name. If those ordinances depart from before me, saith the Lord, then the seed of Israel also shall cease from being a nation before me forever. In other words, you look up into the universe and you see the sun and the stars and so forth like that. They would have to quit working and there would be no more of them in order for Israel to be non-existent as a nation. That isn't going to happen whatsoever. Thus saith the Lord, if heaven above can be measured, and the foundations of the earth searched out beneath, I will also cast off all the seed of Israel for all that they have done, saith the Lord. In other words, if you want to do away with all of the ordinances that God has put in the universe there, so there will be life on here, do away with the ozone that's 40 miles up, a little inch thick, that filters out all the deadly rays of the sun so the life-giving rays can come through and give life on the earth. All of that has to be obliterated. It will never cease anymore. Then and only then, if that happens, will Israel never be a nation again. It is not going to happen, just as it's impossible for life on earth not to happen, okay? Now, while we're there, let's go here, if you will, to chapter 33 in Jeremiah. All right, let's go on over to chapter 33. Jeremiah has a lot to say about Bible prophecy and a lot to say about Israel, all right? Notice in verse 15, let's start with verse 15. In those days and at that time will I cause the branch of righteousness, that's the Lord Jesus Christ, he is the branch, to grow up into David and shall execute judgment and righteousness in the land during the millennium. You want to write that in your Bible. These prophecies have to do with the millennial reign of Christ. And in those days shall Judah be saved, and Jerusalem shall dwell safely. And this is the name wherewith she shall be called, the Lord our righteousness, or Jehovah Sidkenu, T-S-I-D-K-E-N-U. That's the Hebrew. Then we come on down here. For thus saith the Lord, David shall never want a man to sit upon the throne of the house of Israel. Neither shall the priests, the Levites, want a man before me to offer burnt offerings and to kindle meat offerings and to do sacrifice continually. And the word of the Lord came unto Jeremiah, saying, thus saith the Lord, if you can break my covenant of the day and my covenant of the night, and that there should not be day and night in their seasons, then may also my covenant be broken with David, my servant, that he should not have a son to reign upon the throne, that through his loins was the Lord Jesus Christ that took on human flesh through the genealogies and so forth, or through his line, and with the Levites, the priests, my ministers, and so forth. All right? Very interesting. Now, in verse 22, as the host of heaven cannot be numbered, neither the sand of the sea measured, so will I multiply the seed of David, my servant, and the Levites that minister unto me. Israel will flourish during the millennium like the sand in the sea. Now, just to bring this down to where you and I are today, I'm saved. God will never go back on that promise to me. If I seek to turn away from the Lord, the one that suffers, truthfully, is me. I'm the one that suffered a year because of my rebellion, thinking, here my wife, I don't mind, I'm tickled to death, she's saved, she's a nice little girl, I married her, great, we got children, but this is getting totally ridiculous. That was a wrong attitude toward the Lord. I should have been happy. I was happy she'd gone to church with me, and I'd gone to church with her, and that was good, and we took our kids and so forth. That was great, but we're going over bounds now here a little bit, you know. Then I don't see any sense she has to teach Sunday school. They got plenty of Sunday school teachers. I don't see any sense she has to sing in the choir. Maybe one of the two, but good night. We're getting all involved here to where the church is where we live, you know. And I've built this thing up and built it up until everything went haywire. Everything went haywire. The finances, the job, one thing or another, everything went haywire. And then I finally come to a decision. I've got to face the fact this is my fault. This is my fault. And she wanted to go to church. I wouldn't take her to church. I said, this is ridiculous. This pastor, all he wants to do is control us. And boy, did I have the wrong attitude. You can make up anything to justify yourself that you're right. You can make it up, especially when it comes to the Lord. You know, we got hypocrites in church. And I've had that told me. I said, well, you should be comfortable. Come on anyway, you know. But anyway, all that's just garbage. But the point is that when God makes you a promise, there's nothing you can do to make him a liar. Even as bad as Israel did when they went with false gods, which embarrassed the Lord, taught their children wrong, as a nation, the Jews rejected Christ, they're in hell today. If they didn't change their mind. It doesn't matter whether you're Jew, you're Gentile, or what nationality you are, you're a human being. If you reject Jesus Christ, no matter what your nationality is or what, you're going to hell when you die. It doesn't matter what your nationality is or how good you are, because if you accept Jesus Christ, you realize you need a Savior, you're not perfect, then you're going to heaven. Well, there's neither male nor female, nor doesn't make any difference. You're a human being that God loves, and you're going to heaven by your decision. So you can make a decision not to serve the Lord after you're saved, but that decision will not force God to be a liar and take back your salvation. He will never do that. But it will, with his grace, give us time to work things out. And let me see what time I got. I got to stop right here. We'll pick this up next week, and we'll get into the one-third that's only going to be saved in Palestine. 9 out of 10 Jews outside of Palestine in the world will be killed. And we'll go into that and to do that. But we're not going to go over since we don't have a clock up there. And I said I'd look at my watch, and I did. Now it's 5 till, so we're going to get out on time. Okay, so let me just illustrate this if I can. And I know that everybody here that trusted Christ, because I know that you have. But these films or these messages go out many, many places. You have no idea where they go. They go out all over. The billfold is sin. I'm the sinner. The wages of sin is death. So all I have to do to go to hell is nothing. That's all I have to do. Nothing. Just die of my sin. The Bible says that God loved you. He said Jesus Christ doesn't want you to go to hell because he's not willing, as Peter said, that any should perish. So why would you go to hell, Max Jones, when your sins are completely paid for? Why would you do that? You can't say that's a smart decision because you will never get out of hell as you will never be kicked out of heaven. Heaven is eternal. Hell is eternal. So, I put it in the Bible so preachers can't get it all screwed up. Churches, through all their tradition and makeup things, so they're what we call them esoterics, that is, the super intelligent. You know, they're esoterics, these guys. No more than just the average person, you know. They're the real thinkers of the world. And they say, you know, now we question whether there is a God. We really do. Okay, goodbye, friend. You're wasting my time. A billfold sin. Don't go to hell and pay for your sin, Max Shouts. I did it for you. I put it in the Bible here so you can read it. It is true. Better put your trust in the Lord, confidence in men. I sent Christ to take on human flesh, to die on the cross. You celebrate Easter, you die on the cross, paid for my sins, and then went back to heaven and sits on the throne as my mediator. Timothy 2:5 says, there's one God, one mediator between God and man, not the Lutheran preacher, not the Catholic priest, or any of these other idiots out here that try to play God and tell you that I will forgive your sins. Isn't that sweet? Lutheran preacher tell you that? They all tell you that. I will forgive your sins as an appointed minister of God, an ordained minister. It's conferred upon me that I forgive all of your sins this Sunday morning. Isn't that wonderful? You ought to see the emails that we get from the Lutherans that have been led to the Lord through the internet and the website and so forth. You wouldn't believe it. I'll read them to you sometime. But anyway, I believe that Christ died, said, I'll take your sin, the mark paid, right here. I will take my righteousness, because you got to be perfect to go to heaven, and you can never attain that. And I'll give it to you. And in 2 Corinthians 5, God says, he hath made him Christ to be sin for me, that I might be made the righteousness of God in him. So when I believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, he took my sin and put it to his account, and he took his righteousness and put it to my account. So I go to heaven on the righteousness of Jesus Christ because I trust that he paid for my sin on the cross of Calvary. And how in the world would a person, and yet you see it all over America through religions, be dumb enough to trust a preacher that says, I can forgive your sins and not Jesus Christ and have eternal life? I don't know. Let's bow over to prayer before we keep talking and waste time. Dear Lord, we thank you so much. Thank you for the Bible. And thank you for the things that you've pre-written. Excuse me. All of these things is taking place in the world today. Assyria is a mess. It's killing people all over the place. Egypt, you don't know which ends up. Israel, they're trying to go back under the old covenant there. They're lost in the nation over there. But you've written everything that's going to happen. They're going to trust the Antichrist. He's going to break the covenant. He's going to kill every Jew he can get his hand on. We'll get on that and show those scriptures next Sunday. And we just thank you, dear Lord, that we have the peace of God that passeth all understanding. And I thank you so much that you love the sinner like me. I thank you so much that anybody in this world can have the assurance they're going to heaven by just simply believing the Bible instead of all this trash going out there as disguised by the name religion, which is nothing but satanic. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. We thank you for that in Jesus' precious name. Amen.